नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चगनरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रयेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय. Has it ever happened to you that you are requested to give Bhagavatam class in Shrida Mayapur before all the exalted devotees, and you are suggested to choose the verse that you want to speak from, and so you choose the verse, and then you inform what that verse is, and they say, okay, you even write it in an email, and then you come to sit down to give class. Guess what? It's another verse, it's another canto. Hare Krishna. I think Krishna is having a good laugh at me today. So be it. Well, we may get to say something about what I was thinking to say, but alas, time is also very short. The verse on the board is Canto 7, chapter number 2, verse number 8. It is part of a translation of two verses. We'll read together the second of these, verse number 8. Machula binna grivasya. Machula bhinna grivasya burina rudhirena vai burina rudhirena vai asrik priyam tarpayishye asrik priyam tarpayishye Bratarange gatavyata Bratarange gatavyata Machula binna grivasya Burina rudhirena vai Asrik priyam tarpayishye Mrataram me gatam yata. Ladies. Verse number 7 is as follows. Tasya chakta svabhavasya grihnirmaya vanokasa bhajantam bhajamanasya balasye vastiratmana. Tasya, of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chakta svabhavasya, who has given up his natural position of being equal to everyone. Grihne, most abominable. Maya, under the influence of the illusory energy. Vana okasa, behaving exactly like an animal in the jungle. Bhajantam, unto the devotee engaged in devotional service. Bhajamanasya, being worshipped. Balasya, a child. Iva, like. Astira Atmana, who is always restless and changing. Mat, my. Shula, by the trident. Bhinna, separated. Grivasya, whose neck. Bhurina, profuse. Rudhirena, by blood. Vai, indeed. Asrikpriyam, who was fond of blood. Tarpayishye, I shall please. Brataram, brother. Me, my. Gatavyata, becoming peaceful myself. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up His natural tendency of equality toward the demons and demigods. This is Hiranyakashipu speaking. Although He is the Supreme Person, now, influenced by Maya, what does that sound like? Sounds like Maya, sounds also like Mayavada, yes. Now, being influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leans toward someone. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who was so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I, too, be peaceful. That's a demon. Purport. The defect of the demoniac mentality is expressed in this verse very clearly. Hiranyakashipu thought that Vishnu also becomes partial, like a child whose mind is not steady or resolute. The Lord can change his mind at any time, Hiranyakashipu thought, and therefore his words and activities are like those of children. Is that true? No? Yes and no, right? Actually, because the demons are ordinary human beings, their minds change. Their minds change. And being materially conditioned, they think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is conditioned also. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Abhijananti mangmudha manushing tanum ashritam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. The purport continues, but I want to interrupt there, and before speaking something myself, beg for the blessings of all of you present, such an august assembly of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, that we may say something illuminating and inspiring. What Hiranyakashipu has to say may not be very illuminating and inspiring for the devotees, because he's plotting to kill the Lord. But it becomes a kind of inspiration, knowing, as we do, that his plot will be foiled. Today is the first day of the ISKCON Leaders Sangha, and I'm most honored to speak, discuss Bhagavatam on this occasion. I have to say that Mother Lakshmi Moni would not take no for an answer, so here I am. All glories to Mother Lakshmi Moni and her wonderful service of arranging this entire event. As I said, I had another verse in mind, and we may get back to something from today's verse, but let me move on to what I had in mind, and we'll see where we go in the very limited time we have. I chose a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, chapter 7, verse 39. Pranai svai pranina panti sadava kshanabangurai badha vaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshvatma mayaya. This is Lord Shiva speaking, and he's speaking to his wife, and he is expressing his resolve to help the demigods who are in trouble because they have been churning the ocean, the cosmic ocean, together with the demons, with the intention to create nectar. But they are in trouble because they haven't produced nectar, they've produced something else. Here's the translation. People in general, being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are always engaged in animosity toward one another. But devotees, even at the risk of their own temporary lives, try to save them. So this is describing, or this is in the context of what Srila Prabhupada would call a reversal of events. Events are going along in some direction, and then something happens by some arrangement. Ultimately, we may say, the Lord's arrangement, and this is a reversal, something unexpected. I thought to raise this subject of poison because, of course, we're talking about leadership. And it struck me that Lord Shiva is identifying what is spiritual leadership in his own example, and he uses the word sadhu, sadhava, kshana, bangurai, pranai svai. They who recognize that life will be finished in a moment, kshana, kshana bangurai, it will be broken in a moment. And recognizing that, the sadhus are willing, are ready, as Prabhupada translates, to risk their own temporary lives for others. For which others? For those who are in conflict, which is the tendency in this world. People in general being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord are always engaged in animosity with each other. Actually, I said that the demigods have approached Lord Shiva. In fact, it's both parties, the demigods and the demons, have approached him to solve this. But I want to raise the point that in a sense, taking this in an extended sense, the poison problem can arise in any situation where there is an endeavor, a sincere endeavor, to create something, to accomplish something. And I would suggest that if you study, especially in the first three cantos of Bhagavatam, very much of the description of the efforts to create the universe are a feature of this creation is there's always trouble. You start off and then there's trouble. You start again and there's more trouble. Okay, let's try it again. Lord Brahma has to give up his body at one point, his gross body. But again, he pursues his mission with determination. So the question that I think we all have when trouble comes is how to deal with it. And especially it is a question for leaders. How to deal with challenges in a Krishna conscious way. And I would suggest that Lord Shiva is good to remember in this context because he was so willing to take trouble, such trouble that he actually takes on a kind of wound which becomes a permanent mark, which actually is a glorification of Lord Shiva. He is known as Nilakanta because of his blue throat, because he agreed to take this poison. Srila Prabhupada once referred to the age of Kali as the age of misunderstanding. We all have this experience. Misunderstanding may come despite our best efforts to be understood, and often this is the beginning of the problem. We want to make sure that we are understood, when perhaps what is needed, first of all, is to understand what someone is trying to communicate to others. Now, I want to expand on this, but time is short. I'm going to first ask those of you who were here 2 years ago when I also spoke Bhagavatam class, if you can recall, I know it was 2 years ago, what do you expect? But, 2 years ago, I was sharing with you something that I learned in the spiritual leadership seminar, which took place at that time. Shishi Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. And what I learned was that one way to understand leadership is in terms of three principles that a leader should give Number one, vision. Number two, inspiration. And number three, does anybody remember? No? Facility. Give that man a gulab jamun. Hare Krishna. One should facilitate. If we think about Srila Prabhupada, all of his activity and his preaching, who can think of a better leader than Srila Prabhupada as one who gave the complete vision of Krishna consciousness, who gave unlimited inspiration, who gave facility, who facilitated us. I remember coming here the first time, 1978, revealing my age. There were three buildings. There was Srila Prabhupada's Bhajan Kutir, there was the Long Building, there was the Lotus Building. I feel some nostalgia for those days. Now we have so many structures, all of course which are expressions of the sincere love of the devotees, so not to minimize this, but I do like to remember that time when there were mainly fields. Okay, vision, inspiration, and facility. Could it be that sometimes misunderstanding comes because you and I have different partial perceptions of the vision, and we take our particular vision or understanding of the vision as the whole vision, and we may want to say, this is the whole vision, yours is not the vision. That may be one possibility of misunderstanding. Different inspirations, someone is inspired, you know, let's keep it simple, especially by prasadam. Someone else is especially inspired by kirtan. So someone says we have to do prasadam distribution. Someone says we have to do kirtan everywhere. This can be a kind of cause for misunderstanding. There may also be differences in understanding about facility. How much do we appreciate what facility is being given to us? So in terms of quantity, but also other aspects of facility, we may not see where facility is when it's there. Or we may not understand the best way to use facility that is given. Well, all of these reflections led me to recall that Kapila Dev, in speaking to his dear mother, Devahuti, itemizes three types, actually four types, of bhakti. Of course, we want to all practice pure devotional service, but alas, sometimes, because as we heard yesterday, the modes of nature are always competing with each other, and we just might some of the time feel some of the influence of those modes. So I thought it's good that we review the descriptions of the three modes of devotional service predominated by these three modes. Shall we do this? Okay. It starts from the bottom and it goes to the top. So with Canto 3, Chapter 29, Verse 8, we have devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. Now, before I go on, I want to suggest, on the principle that Srila Prabhupada suggested, that or encouraged that we discuss Bhagavatam from all angles of vision, I want to suggest, what if, just what if, we heard these verses not in terms of individuals, but in terms of collectivities of devotees, of the society as a whole, or a particular community of devotees in which we may reside, in which we may be involved. Could it be the case that sometimes, although I may be engaged in Shuddha-sattva devotional service, that the community is a bit tinged? Again, with so much, no doubt, sincerity, but the road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. Okay, with that in mind, let us hear about devotional service in the mode of passion. Verse 9, the worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. We should notice the word separatist here. Binadrik is the Sanskrit. One who is separate, thinking difference, thinking I am different, we are different, it's me and Krishna only. Of course, that gets into the definition of the Prakriti Bhakta. Moving on. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free him, and I will add, or herself, from the inebrieties of fruitive activities, his devotion or her devotion is in the mode of goodness. Now here again, I want to see if we can stretch ourselves a little to appreciate these statements in with a different angle of vision. And for this, I need to invoke the ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle. Aristotle spoke of what he called virtue ethics. And in his notion of virtue ethics, you have a virtue, and then you have two extremes. One extreme going one way, and another extreme going the other way. Example is courage. Courage is a virtue. To do something without consideration of dangers, taking unnecessary risk, that's one extreme. Cowardice is another extreme. Okay, let's take this and apply it to the idea of the three modes of nature. And instead of thinking of a hierarchy, mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness at the top, what if we think of a triangle with mode of goodness at the top and the other two modes down at the bottom? I think this helps us to appreciate that this Krishna consciousness movement as a collectivity is not only, or maybe I should say is inclusive of, it's not only about going for Krishna prema, it's about teaching the world virtue, and that's only possible to that extent that we individually and collectively are virtuous. The word guna happens to mean not only rope, that which binds, it also means, as we know, quality, and it also means virtue. So, devotional service in the mode of goodness can be working us to a position where people of the world will be more inclined to say, oh yeah, those Hare Krishnas, they're really nice people. Some people do that, but I beg to submit, not enough. Not enough are saying, oh yes, the Hare Krishnas, they're good people. Okay, then we have transcendental, free from the modes, devotional service. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart, just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down toward the ocean. Such devotional service, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows toward the Supreme Lord. What do you think? Do we want, not just individually, but collectively, uninterrupted by any material conditions, that our movement moves forward to spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? What do you think? Sound like a good idea? I only heard a couple of Hari Bol. So, again, time is short. I had so much more to say. But back to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva appears in Navadvip Dham as Hamsa Vahana Shiva. Over in, I believe it's Madhyanadvip. And he is called Hamsa Vahana Shiva because he is riding not on Nanda, the bull, but rather he is riding, he borrowed from Lord Brahma his Hamsa. Why? He was in such a hurry. He was in a total hurry, as we would say in America now. He was totally in a hurry, right? Teenagers all say that. He was totally in a hurry to come to this place. Why? In order to hear Gaura Leela from Suta Goswami. That anxiety, that anxiousness to hear Gaura Leela, we know that's the solution. And that is how Lord Shiva, we could say in this context, is swallowing the poison. The poison of so much good intention, which it leads to unfortunate situations. In these unfortunate situations, we all need to step back and recognize, despite all of our good intentions, something has arisen. Now we really need to take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, the sadhus, to remember that the business of our society is to be a society of sadhus and sadvis. That is our business, more than anything else. In the public sphere of expanding this mission. So I will just end by saying, I suspect, I haven't seen the schedule yet, but I suspect that in the ILS there will be several workshops and so on, discussions on outreach. And this is as it should be. I just want to suggest that along with the outreach, there needs to be in-reach. Because without the in-reach, which looks critically at ourselves, individually and collectively, our best intentions are not going to bring the result, the nectar, which we are all hankering for. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. It is now, according to the sign here, time to end. And I believe the session begins at 10 o'clock. I don't know if we want to allow for one question or comment. Can anyone tell us, sorry, gotta stop, or If there's a question or a comment, otherwise we can stop. Yes, Manaji, is there a microphone? Here it comes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So you're speaking about devotional service in the three modes, and this is something that devotees often speak about. And of course, we want to perform devotional service ultimately in a way that is not influenced by the modes. You spoke of how we are perceived according to how we perform our devotional service. And I'm wondering, it's difficult for me to understand what the difference is in the result of our devotional service when it's practiced in the three modes. We can say it's maybe not so pleasing to Krishna, but in terms of our consciousness and everything.
Thank you. I'll give one quite graphic example from my own experience in Germany, 1975. Some of the devotees here will remember. One day, on a Sunday morning, were you there, Maharaj? At the temple, Schloss Rettershof, on a Sunday morning, the temple found itself surrounded by police cars. I wasn't there, I was in Denmark. You were there. What was this the result of? The devotees were out doing a lot of, as we say, collecting, and they were doing it very successfully, but they were doing it, for the most part, under false pretenses. They were telling people, we are collecting for X, Y, and Z, which we were not collecting for. And alas, karma, I think we can say something like collective karma, caught up with us. So I would say this would be an example of, you know, devotional service in the mode of passion. Again, everyone had the best of intentions, and we were convinced that we are beyond the modes of nature, and therefore we can do this. I'm sure, although I haven't yet had a chance to read, that in Vaisheshika Prabhu's book, we get thorough schooling in how this is not the way to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Yes? Thank you. So that's one example. I'm sure others could think of others, but this had huge negative consequences for our movement in Germany. For years, the way we got raked through the coals of the German press, unbelievable. There was no mercy. Well, actually, there was mercy. Because the movement continued, devotees continued distributing books, and they wrote to Srila Prabhupada and reported that despite all of this, we're still distributing and people are still taking books. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, let it increase, let it increase. And so it did.
So the conclusion we can draw from this is that if we're performing devotional service affected by the modes, there is going to be a karmic consequence for that.
This is my understanding. Yes, there can be. If not, that's a big subject, but certainly something will be there, which is there for us to push us forward to pure devotional service. We may call it karma, we may call it, you know, the Lord's direct intervention, but in any case, something will be there. Okay. Right. I think we will stop there then. Thank you all so much for your kind attention, and I wish you all the best for today and for the remaining days of the ILS conference. Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananta Gauti Vaishnavinda Ki Gaur Premanande.
Thank you.